Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord again on tonight. Yes, this is, are you a liability or an asset to the kingdom of God on Thursday night, August the 10th, 2017? Yes, once again, you are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr. We do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each Thursday and Saturday night. From 8 to 9 p.m. Well, on tonight, we do have Deacon Marvin Cox standing by again on tonight. As you all know, that he comes forth every second Thursday night and every second Saturday night over the same worldwide platform. And he is standing by to deliver God's word on tonight again. So I'm asking all listeners, please get your Bibles and pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God as he brings and deliver God's word on tonight. As we always do, we always open up with prayer. So I'm asking all listeners if you will go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, once again, it's in the name of Jesus we come to give your name praise. We give you glory and honor for who and all that you are, Heavenly Father. We thank you for this another day that you have made. Heavenly Father, before we ask for anything else, we come asking and seeking your forgiveness of all of our sins and our transgressions. I start with myself, asking Heavenly Father that you will forgive me once again, and not only me, but my entire family and also Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, Heavenly Father, on tonight, so that our prayers and that your word will not be hindered on tonight, that it will accomplish everything that you set forth to do on tonight, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we come lifting up all those that may be tuned in on tonight who do not have a personal relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ, who have not accepted him yet as your Son. And we pray, Lord, that something will be said on tonight through your word, through your man of God on tonight, that their hearts will be pricked to the point where they will be able to surrender and yield their hearts and minds and bodies over to Jesus Christ as they open their mouth and confess their sins, and they will seek him and ask him to come into their hearts and save them, Heavenly Father, on tonight, so that they will be able to know their God purpose after being saved. And then they will continue to walk in their God purpose and fulfill their God purpose in the earth, is our prayer on tonight. Heavenly Father, that you alone will be glorified, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we come lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver, Heavenly Father, as only you can. And, oh God, in the name of Jesus, we also come lifting up all those that are bereaved, Heavenly Father, that have lost loved ones. Heavenly Father, we know that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. So we know that you are our comforter. You are our strength. You are our joy, our peace. You are our everything, Heavenly Father. So we know that you will be able to comfort and strengthen those that are suffering loss in the loss of a loved one on tonight. So let them feel your presence, Heavenly Father, and let them know without a shadow or doubt that it's you who is comforting them and strengthening them to continue to run on until the end, to see what the end is going to be, is our prayer for them in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we come lifting up a special prayer on behalf of our President, Donald Trump, and not only him, but world leaders all over the land, even North Korean President, Heavenly Father. We know that enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and we are not surprised because your word cannot fail, it cannot lie. We know that you said in your word, you've already warned us and told us in your word that these things would happen. There will be wars and rumors of wars. And so we know that you are God, and we know that besides you there is none other. We know that the enemy do have power, but he have limited power. We are so thankful, Heavenly Father, that you have all power in your hands. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, or no matter what we hear or what we see or what we think, we know that you are in total control at all times. So nothing can happen without your giving the green light or the okay for it to happen. So we know that we are in your care, Heavenly Father, and you promised that you will watch over us and you will care for us and you will never leave us nor forsake us. So, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would remove doubt and fear from those that are fearing or fretful because of what the world situation that we are facing right now. Because, again, we know that you are in total control. And we just thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are in total control. We thank you that you're not like man. You cannot lie. You cannot change. You cannot fail. So we just ask that you would move by your spirit in the earth, Heavenly Father. Touch the hearts and minds of world leaders all over the land, Heavenly Father. They will come on one accord. And our prayer, Heavenly Father, that if they're not saved in Jesus' name, that they first will become saved in Jesus' name. And then, Heavenly Father, give them a heart of love and compassion, that they will show love and compassion toward all men all over the earth, that you will be glorified, is our prayer on tonight in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would just move by your spirit, Heavenly Father, on tonight. Help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us, that you will be glorified. Continue to bless each listener on tonight. Heavenly Father, we lift up all pastors and shepherds, Heavenly Father, that you have anointed and appointed for such a time as this, who are truly standing on your word, who are truly are not afraid to stand on your word and teach and preach about sin. Heavenly Father, we know that you do not love sin, you hate sin, and we thank you for your word that you have anointed and appointed pastors and shepherds and bishops, Heavenly Father, who are not afraid to stand on your word. They stand and declare your word with holy boldness, and that's what we need now more than ever. Pastors that are teaching and preaching your word without hidden agendas, that are truly standing on your word and delivering in your word, Heavenly Father, with power that comes from on high, that you will be glorified, is our prayer in Jesus' name. So we pray again, Lord, that you would just move by your spirit on tonight. Have your way, that you will be glorified on tonight, is our prayer in Jesus' name. And we just give you your name glory. We give you honor and praise for who you are, because you are truly worthy to be praised. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy toward us. We know that we're not worthy of it. We don't deserve it. But we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Just have your way, Heavenly Father, on tonight, is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all those that are in agreement with this prayer said amen. Well, on tonight, we do have another spiritual food for thought for tonight, and it kind of ties in with this prayer that I just prayed. Tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to all of us saying, sin is always expensive. The question is, are you willing to pay the price or suffer the consequences? Once again, our tonight's spiritual food for thought. Sin is always expensive. There is a question. Are you willing to pay the price or suffer the consequences? I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassadors/vessels and click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can email me at james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Well, in the form of announcements, I am so excited and pleased to announce on behalf of Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters Ministries, they will be having a backpack school jamboree will be taking place at River Rouge Park on Saturday, August the 19th, starting at 4 p.m. Once again, Kingdom Builders International Ministries and Kingdom Daughters Ministries will be presenting and having a backpack school jamboree. Again, it will be taking place on Saturday, August the 19th at 4 p.m., and the location will be at River Rouge Park. We're asking all donations and supplies be turned in before August the 19th. For more information regarding this back-to-school jamboree, you can contact Brother Ashton Terrell. His phone number is area code 248-234-8127. Once again, Brother Ashton Terrell can be reached at area code 248-234-8127. And the purpose and the goal of this going back to school jamboree is the Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters would like to be a blessing to the children in the community, and they want to be a blessing to the people and to the body of Christ. And so we're asking all those that are willing to support this ministry in this endeavor, if you would please make sure that you get your financial donations or your supplies for the children to them by August the 19th. And we are so excited for them as to what they're doing for the children. And they're going to be able to, they want to be able to supply at least 100 to 150 to 200 children with backpacks to go back to school for this coming school year. So we want to be a blessing to them. And if you would like to be a blessing to them, please give Brother Terrell a call once again at area code 248-234-8127. And the form of my final announcement is, again, I am so excited what God is doing in my life and through this worldwide platform. Again, for those of you that may be tuning in for the first time, Deacon Marvin Cox is coming forth on tonight, bringing the word again. Again, he comes forth every second Thursday and every second Saturday on this worldwide platform, bringing and delivering God's word. This young man is a man of God. He and I like to share his testimony. I know he shares it himself, but I like the listeners to know, for those of you that do not know his situation, and to know, let you all know that there is no excuse for you not fulfilling your God purpose. Even though you may have illnesses or health challenges in your body, such as him and myself, he has muscular dystrophy. He is one of those individuals that it has attacked his body to the point where he cannot really get out of the house and go to church like he wants to and like he used to do. But thank God he is still able to deliver God's word. So I thank God for opening this worldwide platform for him, that he's able to continue to fulfill his God purpose in the earth by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, as he's going to do on tonight. So don't try to look for excuses or reasons why you are not fulfilling your God purpose. This man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox, is a perfect example that you can fulfill your God purpose if you desire to do so. So I am so excited that he's coming forth to bring God's word again on tonight. And my other, in conclusion to that, I'm also excited what God is doing through this worldwide platform. We have now, under my direction, Releasing the Sounds. Prophetess Vadira Hayward comes forth every fourth Saturday from 6:30 to 7 p.m. Again, her show title is Releasing the Sound, every fourth Saturday from 6:30 to 7 p.m. Then we have Jose Dorsey. His show title is Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. He comes forth every first and third Thursday from 6:30 to 7 p.m. p.m. So I'm asking you all to be a blessing and tune in to listen to them. And we have coming forth very soon will be Minister Dr. Patricia Heisman of Pontiac, Michigan. She will be coming forth with her show. And as soon as she comes forth with the date and the time that she's going to be coming forth, we will be spreading that word to you all so that you can be looking out to tune in to her, listen to her, and be blessed by this woman of God as well. So right now, before we bring Deacon Marvin Cox to bring the word on tonight, we're going to go forth with our music break. And following this music break, I am going to come back and I'm going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox so he can deliver God's word. And as you all know that are familiar with him, he always shares an awesome poem before he brings the word. So he's going to do the same thing on tonight. He's going to come forth with a poem. And then following his poem, he's going to go right into the word on tonight. But following before that, we're going to listen now to this music break, Worth Living. I thank God that Jesus Christ thought of our lives was worth living, that he came down and he died for us. He paid our sin debt with his own blood. So we know that God is a man that he cannot lie, he cannot change, or he cannot fail. So I thank God for who he is, and I thank God for his son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King. Enjoy the song.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I can tell everyone I know.
You thought I was worth saving,
so you came.
You came and changed my life. You thought I was worth saving.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yes, you are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God? And this is Thursday night, August the 10th, 2017. Well, I do hope and pray that you have gone with the man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox, as he get ready to bring God's word on tonight. But I have something that I'd like to say to the listeners on tonight. As I was in the store this morning, and they had the TV on, and they were showing the news, and they were talking about North Korea and President Donald Trump and what's going on around the world. So I just want to let the listeners know, again, as I was saying in my prayer, no matter what it looks like, no matter what you see or what you hear or what you even think, know that God is in control. We know that the enemy, again, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he comes to put fear and doubt in our hearts so that we won't trust God. But we know that God is in control. He sees what's going on. He knows all about it. And we just thank God for those of us that are saved on tonight. We thank God that he is who he is, and he is not like man. So for those of you that may be fearful about what's going on around the world, what you hear, know that if you are in God's hands, if you are saved in Jesus' name, he promised in his word that he would never leave us nor forsake us. So there is no need to fear or doubt God, because he is a faithful God, and he still watches over his word to perform it. So you go to sleep at night knowing that God is in control, and that he even have the enemy in his sight, because he still sits high and he looks low. So don't be fearful. Don't doubt God. Don't stop trusting God. Continue to hold on to your faith, knowing that all things are going to work together for our good, for them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. So that's what I wanted to say to the listeners on tonight. No matter what you hear or what you see or what's going on around the world, know that God is in total control at all times. Well, right now I am so excited to bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox, who's going to bring the word of God on tonight. Deacon Marvin Cox, I am yielding the mic to you at this time to deliver God's word and share your poem first.
Amen. It's truly once again an honor to be able to bring forth God's word to God's people. I won't tarry before you long. The Lord has been working with me, and I'd like to share this poem with you. It's called True Love. True Love, oh, where art thou? Why do so many people search for your meaningful presence, your peaceful demeanor, and your unprejudiced ways, not really knowing who you are, what you are, and who you represent? How do I recognize you when there are so many others out there who claim to be you? Joy, passion, peace, desire, happiness, honesty, fair play, honor, and respect are just a few of your ambassadors, but you are so much more. Excuse me for omitting patience, dedication, and faithfulness, and commitment. Is my heart so full of deceit that there is not enough room for you to dwell there? Has my building been condemned and is no longer safe for you to enter? What exterminator can I call to rid myself of these pesky ways of mine? Have you fled from my presence, or was it I who withdrew from you? Am I being penalized because I didn't acknowledge you at your last visitation? Are you hiding in the bosom of those who are close to me? Did you banish me from your warm embrace because I'm selfish and you are not? Have I forfeited possibilities of compatibility? How can I recognize with you? I long for the fellowship we once had. The greatest joy of my life was to commune with you. I was informed the other day that all is not lost, that you are very accessible if one were to repent, and that you habitate the praises of those who love you. I was overjoyed to find out that you are alive and well, and you occupy every inch of this world. One must rid themselves of unclean and impure thoughts. Lord, you told us that you will not dwell in an unclean temple. You are true love. Amen. I'd like to thank the Lord for being able to share that with you. Also like to thank Brother Brown for his thought for today. He said that sin is expensive. I'd like to add to that by saying that sin is not only expensive, but it's very costly. It may cost you your soul. Amen. Now, we're going to immediately go into tonight's lesson. And tonight's lesson is, I'm coming from the book of Second Chronicles, probably from the first all the way down to the 15th verse. And I'll be reading to you from the King James Version. And it reads, that's Second Chronicles, the second chapter, verses 1 down through the 15th verse. And it reads, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests waited on their officers. The Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endures forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made were not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. Also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation, from entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. And then the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart, for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came to Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord. And in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land of the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be opened and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. I've just read unto you from the book of Second Chronicles, starting at the 7th chapter, starting at that first verse down through the 15th verse. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may he edify souls forever. Amen. Now, my thought tonight is coming out of the 14th verse, which I will also read to you again. And it reads, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their lands. Now, God has given us a second opportunity here, and our topic for tonight is stop, look, and listen. And the reason I read to you the said verses before proceeding and proceeding, that 14th verse, is because we as Christians, we have a tendency of taking God's word out of context. And some verses stand alone, we will lose the meaning and lose the understanding of what God is saying to us. So in other words, what I'm saying that there are some people who will seek spiritual loopholes to justify those things that they do against God. It was a brother who was a deacon with me, and he wanted to justify smoking marijuana. And the pastor got wind of it, so one day in our deacon meeting, the brother had done some research, and he was ready. He had prepared well for the pastor because he knew that the pastor was going to approach him with that. So the pastor said, Brother so-and-so, I'm not going to mention his name because you just might know him. He said, Brother so-and-so, is it true? He wanted to get the verification from this brother. He said, is it true that you are, indulgent in that? He said, yes, sir. He was honest. And then he said, well, God's word said that it's all right for me to do it. And the preacher, being the man of God who he was, he asked, well, you show me in there, in the Bible, where it says that God condones a situation like that. So the brother, he went to a scripture that you might be familiar with, and the scripture read, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles the body, but what comes out of the mouth. So the Lord was working with the pastor, and the pastor, he countered by telling the brother, he said, okay, brother, he said, but God's word says that drunkenness would not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So the brother thought he had found a loophole to justify what he was doing, but the pastor told him that anything, so the brother said, could you explain it to me, preacher? He said, anything that causes you to be double-minded, he said, a double-minded person is not to be trusted. He's unstable in all his ways. He said, anything that causes your head to spin or to swim is not something that God would recommend that you do. So you take the, a lot of herbs here for medicinal purposes, but to do these things for your pleasure. So I'm just saying that we have to be careful. We have to be able to take God's word in context and not out of context, because we could very easily use one scripture for our benefit, but it must be backed up by the scriptures in front of it as well as the scriptures in back of it. So our lesson tonight, as I say, is stop, look, and listen. And to bring forth the word and to let you know what was happening and what has just been read to you, we got to go to the elementary phases of God's word. We got to go way back when, like when we was in elementary school, and one of the first things that we learned in elementary school, I can't speak for you, but one of the first things that we learned, even before we could read, was how to cross the street and how to honor that traffic light. You say we got to stop, we got to look, and we got to listen. And so learning this Christian journey, in order for us to get to the other side of the road or in order for us to cross over, we have to do the same thing. We have to learn how to stop, to look, and to listen. And so the said verses that have just been read to you, God found favor in that which Solomon had done. Solomon had consecrated the temple, and Solomon had done all the things that God had told him to do. So God told Solomon, I'm just paraphrasing here, he said that we got to set up a place for sacrifice. And we know that a sacrifice is when one gives up something for a greater gain. We know a sacrifice is something that one must willingly give up. Not forcefully, because if someone forced you to do it, it's not a sacrifice. But if you do it on your own free volition because you know that there's a greater gain, then we could put that up under the title of sacrifice. So God says, and I believe it was in the 13th or the 12th or the 13th verse, in the 12th verse, and it reads, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. So you have to give up something. And God designated that particular area, and he told Solomon, he said, this place will be a place, I have chosen this as my place of sacrifice. And so God has given his people a way out. He's given us a second chance. He's letting us know that regardless of what it is that you're doing, that I'm giving you a way out. So the verse reads, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Okay, we're going to stop right there. Now, God is showing personal possession. My is a personal pronoun, which means me. He said, if my people, which are called by, once again, my name, if the Christians, those people who are uplifting and holding up the name of God, shall humble themselves. Okay. Now, in order for me to humble myself, see, we take humble or humility out of the context. We think to humble ourselves is to belittle ourselves or to put ourselves in a very lowly position. But it's not what people think it is. We think that humble is a sign of weakness when it's just the opposite. It's a sign of strength. To know my limitations, to know how awesome God is, to know that I'm not in charge, to know that even though someone may be getting on my nerves and I want to lash out by saying filthy things to them or by saying mean things to them, to humble myself, that means that I have submitted myself and I am not aggressive. See, humble is the opposite of aggressive. I have put myself in a passive state. So God is letting us know, he said, if my people shall humble themselves and pray. So in order to do this, one thing we must do, we must stop. We must stop being arrogant. We must stop sinning. We must stop going against the ordinance of God. We must stop mistreating people. God is letting the children of Israel, each and every last one of us, know that it's a reward. Because if, we know, is a conjunction. If is a word that it correlates two prepositions together. God said, if my people, that's part, first part of sentence, which are called by my name. So if lets us know that when a certain condition is made, a certain thing will result. And if is basically a future. If is not dealing with what happened yesterday, if is dealing with what happens today, a few seconds from now, a few weeks from now, or a few years from now. Now, we can go back and second guess ourselves concerning if, We could say, if I had done that, but we don't know. We're just speculating on that. But if also is a promise. If you step on my foot, you are going to have the devil to pay. So God is letting Solomon know to let his people know that he's given the children of Israel a way out. He's given them a place of sacrifice. He said that the locusts and the land would be pestilent and so forth and on. So if I was you, I would take that offer up as quickly as I could. Now we're going to move right, okay, over to prayer and pray. So when I think about praying or when I think about prayer, I think about establishing a personal relationship with God. I think about nobody else is in the room but God and I. And God is letting each and every last one of us know that he wants us to establish a personal relationship with him. And what I like about this verse is that he did not instruct Solomon to pray for the people. He did not instruct Solomon to intercede for the people. He gave each and every last one, the Israelites or whoever was occupying that land, that opportunity to submit themselves unto the holiness and the righteousness of God. And see, that's how fair God is. Now, when we come into the Lord, we have our instructors, we have our preachers, we have people who break down the Word of God to us and explain the Word of God to us. But we're coming to our own understanding of what it is that God will have us to do. Then there's some times when you can't reach that preacher in the middle of the night and having to pray for you or having to intercede for you. Sometimes when you will have to go to God personally and pray. And this is opening up the door because he did not mention the attitudes of the people. So God has opened up the door and said that he will not hear a sinner's prayer, but he will hear a prayer of repentance. So right now, we got to get on the right track. We have to do what it is that God will have us to do. Now, we just stop, because when you're sinning and you're going in the opposite direction from that which God has designated you to go in, then you must stop. You must bring it. And if you notice, in our everyday life, when you're coming to you're driving, and you come to a red light, you come to a traffic sign, and it says stop. Okay, and you come to the sign and you slow down. How many of us have got a ticket for coming to a rolling stop? You say, well, I stopped. No, but you did not halt your progress. You rolled through the light. You rolled through the intersection. So God is letting us know that we must come to a complete standstill in order for us to do what it is that he has to do, or what he wants us to do. It said, and to seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Now, we're on the look phase of tonight's lesson. Said, to seek something, that means that you have to look for it. To seek something, that means that you have to have spiritual insight to know what it is that you're looking for. To seek my face. Now, no man has ever seen the face of God. But he said, to seek my face. Now, you can see the face of God in your mother. You can see the face of God in your dad. You can see the face of God in your children. So you must seek. Saying, seek my face. Once again, this is personal. He says, my face, not the preacher's face, not the deacon's face, not the priest, not the rabbi, but seek God's face and turn from their wicked ways. Turn, that means to turn, that means that you must go in another direction. I must take my life in another direction from the way that it's been, because God want me to turn from my wicked ways. In other words, I have to veer off of that road of sin that I'm on and connect myself to the road of repentance, because there's a lot of people that are on the wrong road, have taken the wrong path, that are still continuously going down that road that leads to death and destruction. So God has given us in his word tonight an opportunity, said, to turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. Okay, now, say, I will hear from heaven. So we're going to go to will. Will is a promise. Will is when the word goes forth, I will. That's a promise that sometime in the very near future that this situation is going to eventuate itself. It's going to present itself. It's going to put itself in a position that it becomes manifested. It said, and then will I hear from heaven and will forgive once again those who have transgressed against God, those who have done the ungodly against God. God said that if you repent, you turn away from your wicked ways, and you pray and you humble yourself, and you have contrition in your mind and in your heart, that he will forgive their sins. Wow, that all I got to do to get back in God's good grace? Well, it's just a little bit more that I have to do. It says, and then will I hear from heaven. Now, we went from looking and seeking God's face to listening for his voice. And his voice is distinct because he said, my sheep, and his words say, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. There are a lot of impersonators out there. I know back in my time there was a great impersonator by the name of Rich Little. And this guy could impersonate any personality. If you close your eyes, you would really imagine that it was that individual that was speaking because of his voice inflection, because of all of the things that he said. I mean, even a parrot can mimic the voice of certain people. It said, and I will heal their land. So God is making a promise, and in this case, because of the sacrifices, he will call off those locusts that seek to devour your field. In Malachi, it says that, and I will rebuke the devourer. So God is letting each and every last one of us know that it will come a time when something will try to devastate that which you are trying to harvest for God. So I will heal their land. If your land is barren, God would allow your land, which is your body, to become fruitful once again, to bear fruit, to produce fruit, to be that which shows growth, that which promotes growth. So we have to bear these things, and then we have to stop. We have to look. We have to listen. And there's so many verses in God's word that lets us know that we must do these three things. We must go back to those elementary principles. We must be able to sacrifice. We must be able to look. Now I'm going to go to Psalm 121 and 1, which we know is a very, very familiar scripture, where God's word, as I say, Psalms 1, 121 and 1. And this is all about This is all about looking. So I will lift up my eyes to the hills from which cometh my help. Now, you cannot lift up your eyes to the hills without looking to the hills, without visualizing what is on the hill. So God's word is letting us know that, first of all, we must stop. Second of all, we must look. Because a lot of times, and they must come in this sequence. Because a lot of times we might look, but we don't stop. We might listen, but we don't look. We might stop, but we don't look or listen. So when we bring about this sequence of events, then we know that we're doing the things in accordance with God's word. Now, Matthew 11:15, it reads, "Say, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, as I was studying that word, and it just jumped off the pages at me. It said, he that hath an ear to hear. A lot of times when people tell us the truth, we say, hey, I don't want to hear that junk. I don't want to hear that mess. So what do? We tune out God's word. We rebuke God's word. We don't have nothing to do with God's word. Why? Because we don't have an ear to listen to what God's word is saying. So we must put ourselves in that position where we can hear. Now, moving right along, we'll go over here to Revelation, the second chapter, verse number 29. And it's mentioned numerous times in Revelation. Say, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, that's a little bit different right there. Now, we know that God's word says that I am the master of my body temple. You are the master. I'm paraphrasing here, but I'm just adding on to that you are the master of your body temple. And if you are in the Lord and the Lord is in you, then you are the church. So if you come to me with the righteousness of God, then God wants me to hear what it is that you're saying. Say, let this, he that hath an ear. And this after we have been tuned out and tuned off and all this, and let him hear what the Spirit, not what that man up there with that robe on is saying, but what the Spirit. And see, that's why we get confused sometimes, because we just listen to that suit up there. We listen to that pair of pants. We listen to that skirt. We listen to that robe up there. And we don't listen to what the Spirit is saying. But God's word is letting us know in Revelation that we must listen to what the Spirit is saying. We must focus ourselves on what the Spirit is saying, because I know when we opened up devotional services, it was one small request that we asked. We said that we would, you know, after devotional services and everything, we opened up the regular order of service. We would always let the people know right before the messenger of the day was coming. We'd always ask them to receive him and to acknowledge him and so forth and on. But first of all, to acknowledge the Lord. But we also would tell them the most important thing. We'd say that we ask that you give them your undivided attention. So when there are distractions, that's why we must come to a complete stop. Because when we look around, after we stop and we look around, then that road or whatever it is that we must endeavor to do at that particular time, it has our full attention. It has our full concentration. So we must listen. We must hear. And see, to hear, what God's word is saying is also to understand. And to understand is to make a change. And to make a change is to acknowledge that what God says is so. That we cannot allow ourselves, because we have a disagreement with the messenger, not to receive the message. So my brothers, it's time, and my sisters, it's time for each and every last one of us to stop doing whatever it is that we're doing against God. Now the things we're doing for God, continue to do. To look over in the last chapter, the last few verses of Matthew, tell us that teaching them to observe all things. So this means that I have to look, even though I might focus on one thing, even though I might focus on the Lord, then I must observe all things. Teach them to observe all things. And I must listen. I must listen to the righteous instruction of my parents. I must listen to the righteous instructions of my pastor. I must listen to the righteous instructions of those who have authority over me. But most importantly, I must listen to the righteous instructions of God. Not only listen, but to hear. And when I hear, I comprehend. And it's a sequence of events that take place when you actually listen. Other than that, it's just a bunch of noise. Well, I heard a big boom outside, and then a lot of people, but within that noise, it was nothing distinct. It was a lot of white noise. It was nothing that you would be able to decipher. But my brothers and my sisters, this evening, I implore you to stop, to look, and to listen. It'll be a great benefit, and if for you, God has given each and every last one of us another chance and a second opportunity. Now, if you're willing to make those sacrifices and give up those things that you need to give up for the Lord, you see, I will hear from heaven. I will heal their land. I will forgive their sins. So, Brother Brown says, sin is expensive. So, what price are you willing to pay for your salvation? Amen. Now I'll turn you over back in the hands of Brother Brown.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord on tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox, for another awesome, mighty, powerful word of God on tonight. That is a true word for the listeners on tonight, not only for the listeners, but for me, for you, for everyone. That is a powerful word on tonight. We all need to, at times, we need to stop, look, and listen, and make sure that we are hearing from the word of God. And we need to be make sure that we are in the body of Christ so that we can hear what the Spirit of God is saying unto the church. So we just thank God for that word on tonight, and we are to observe all things. That's what the word of God says, observe all things. So we are, if we want to see change in the world, we need to do exactly what the verse 14 says, that if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and turn and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal. And so that's what we are now in the world situation that we're in now. That's what the world needs to do. We as people, we need to turn from our wicked ways. And sometimes the Lord allowed things to happen and for us to get in this world situation that we're in now because of sin. We have not turned from our wicked ways. So once we do that, and with a sincere heart and with all honesty and sincerity, because God is not like man. He searches the heart. He knows if we're for real or not. So that's what he's saying. If you're really honest and be for real with yourself and with me as being God, and you turn from your sin, turn from your evil and wicked ways, then I will heal the land, and then there will be peace in the land again. So we know that God is able. So continue to hold on to your faith and know that God is in total control at all times. But we need to turn from our sins and turn from our wicked ways and evil ways so that God can heal the land. just like he promised that he would. So, Deacon Marvin Cox, we thank you for that word on tonight, and I know that someone was blessed by that word. I know I was. So we pray, Deacon Marvin Cox, that the Lord will continue to bless your life with long life so that you will be able to continue to stand on and preach and deliver God's word as you have done on tonight. So we just thank God for you on tonight and continue to be a blessing to the body of Christ that you are. Well, as we get ready to close out tonight's program, we want to thank you, the listeners, for tuning in faithfully to this broadcast. Are you a liability or an asset to the kingdom of God? So we ask that you will please pass the word to your family members, friends, and church members, and co-workers, and neighbors, that we are on every Thursday night and Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. so they can be tuning in and be blessed by the word as well. So as we get ready to close out tonight's program, we close out in prayer. We're going to ask that you will go into prayer with me at this time. Once again, eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we come again thanking you for who you are. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for your word, Heavenly Father, that you still watches over your word to perform it in the lives of your children and the lives of your saints. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Deacon Marvin Cox from tonight. Continue to bless him. Continue to bless and strengthen his life, his health. Continue to heal him as only you can in the name of Jesus Christ. Continue to bless the works of his hands, Heavenly Father, that as he continue to be a doer of your word and not a hearer only. So we just thank you for him on tonight. Continue to do what you do best, and that is keep your word, Heavenly Father. You always are faithful, God. So we just thank you for who you are. We just ask that you will continue to have your way in our lives, that you alone will be glorified. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said amen. Well, on tonight, know that God loves you. I love you too, but God loves you even more. Thank you for the word on tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox. Well, until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.